While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today, for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
And welcome to episode 20 of Hashtag No Filter. I actually recorded this intro the day I did the interview, but something happened to the intro, so I'm now re-recording the intro after the fact. And I lost my voice this weekend, so that is why my voice sounds like this in the intro, and it'll probably sound slightly different in the actual interview, if you were wondering. As well, where I'm recording the intro, there are screaming children running through the hall, so if it sounds a little bit like I'm at a daycare center, that's why. Anyway, today's interview is with Francesca McGowan, who's an international florist, and she owns Franzi's Flower Designs, which is based here in Houston, but she also has studios, offices in Dubai and Dallas. She's so incredibly talented, and her story is incredible. I don't want to give really much at all away in the intro because we had a very amazing, long conversation, so I want you to just get right into that. But in a nutshell, she grew up, she had more of a difficult childhood. She was in the foster care system for several years. And then, you know, she went off to college and had a different job that had nothing really to do with flowers. And she created Franzi's all on her own. And the story of how it all came to be is just so interesting and inspiring and motivating and just really, really cool to hear about. So we're going to talk all about her childhood, how she overcame those difficulties, how they've impacted who she is as an adult, how her business came to be, how she's become so successful, and several other things. We're also going to talk about, actually, the reason Francesca and I, we met a while ago, but the reason we kind of were like, wait, you got to be on my podcast, is because we were talking, several weeks back at an event that my therapist was hosting, and she came to the event, and we were kind of like bonding over our love of therapy. Which is great. So we're going to also talk about therapy because we both believe it is so beneficial. And it was funny, someone was asking me, not today, but not long ago, a friend of mine was asking me for Stephanie, my therapist's information. And she asked me like how much she costs and everything. And I told her and I was like, but she's worth every penny. And if her price was three times what she actually costs, I would still say it's worth every penny and then some. Although I hope Stephanie's not listening to this because please don't raise your prices because literally all my money goes to you right now. It goes to you and wine. You and wine. I don't know what's better. I think Stephanie's a little above wine. Anyway, I just went off on a tangent. But yes, Francesca and I talk a lot about therapy and things we've learned. And it's just a really, really interesting conversation. And I think you guys are going to love it. So now, without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome, Francesca. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited. We've been talking about this for a long time now. I feel like we had a date, we had to reschedule it, and I'm just very excited you're here. So thank
you. We're very
committed to the cause. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's first start with just a synopsis of your story, your background.
Okay. Wow, that is very loaded.
Everyone says that when I ask them, I'm like, is there a better way to ask that?
But, like from birth to now? Okay.
little bits.
Okay. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas. I have lived in two countries other than the U.S. So I've also lived in Europe. I've lived in France and I've lived in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai specifically. I love to travel. I've been to over 50 countries. My degree is in hotel and restaurant management. So I always thought I was going to climb this corporate ladder and be this corporate guru and all the things. And then before I knew it, I found myself as a jack of all trades, and now I'm an international florist. So
that was a good synopsis. Don't worry, we're going to get into a lot of details now. But
that's a quick summary.
And you're based in Houston now full time.
I'm based in Houston full time. We also have a studio in Dubai and in Dallas. Right. But my home is here, and I spend most of the year here. So I consider Houston home.
Okay, great. That's what I thought. I just wanted everyone to know. Okay, so now what you guys probably don't know is Francesca actually grew up in the foster care system. Mm-hmm. For how long?
I entered the foster care system when I was 12 years old.
12.
So my background is I had a single mother who dealt with alcoholism, and there was a lot of abuse in the household. So Child Protective Services removed me when I was 12, and I entered the system. And that's actually what brought me down to the Houston area.
Got it. And so 12 through 18.
12 through 18. Yeah. I made sure I got that full ride and scholarship to college so I could live on campus and finally be
making making lemonade out of lemons. So without, of course, giving away too much of your personal life, obviously being in the foster care system is not a cakewalk. It's not the easiest thing. It's not what you think is going to happen. So how did you get through it?
I definitely have to start by saying without the foster care system, I wouldn't necessarily know where I would be at today. It did save me in many ways. It provided a safer environment to grow up in. These foster care parents really did the best that they could do. But it was a challenge. And one of the things I have to say that I've walked away from is I really can read people well. I can adapt to any situation. I'm very independent.
Due to the experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think to be taken out of your home when you're 12 and then thrown into another home with other children and other religious beliefs and other personalities and other medical issues, I think is a lot to tackle. And then in my second foster home, there were a lot of financial struggles. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of substance abuse and that kind of thing. So it was kind of like Pandora's box. You never knew what you were going to get when
right.
you opened it.
But right.
it definitely made me who I am today.
And going through it, of course, you were younger. I mean, as you were getting closer to 18, you were becoming more of an adult, but you were younger when you first went into this system. What did you really know? Did you know what to do when you were in? I mean, now looking back, I'm sure everything's crystal clear. And you're, maybe not crystal. You're still, we'll get to that. But how did you, day to day, did you have some really low moments and then days that...
You know, it's funny. When you look back as an adult, you tend to make everything very logical. Mm-hmm. And you really lose sight of that 12-year-old little Francesca and how she really felt. I remember there was a lot of times of being confused. Yeah. In my first foster home, within the week, I was told that they were my mom and they were my dad, and I was not allowed to call my actual parents mom or dad. And that was obviously something very confusing for a teenager.
Yes, yeah.
And so I felt alone a lot of times. I felt very misunderstood. None of my peers, none of my friends at school knew what was going on. They just assumed that those were my parents. So I felt like I always kind of lived under this facade. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I felt like it was a fair trade-off because I never had to worry about my safety.
Right.
And it's funny. Right. I mean, even as a kid, you can start prioritizing, what are your life survival skills and what are kind of nice to have.
Right, right. So now being obviously much older, not much. You're clearly not old, much older than 12-year-olds.
I'm older than 12.
How has, and I'm sure this answer, you could talk about this for probably 3 hours or more, but how has being in that, from that 12, you were 12 when
I
you
was
went
12,
in?
Yeah.
12 through 18. How did that experience being with two different foster families shape who you are today? Are there things that you've learned about yourself that would not be if it wasn't for being in foster care?
I think the level of independence that I have, which as much as it's a great thing, it can sometimes be a challenge with my interpersonal relationship, say with my husband.
That was going to be my question.
A lot of times I just think of immediately what my needs are and what I need. And I would consider myself a very considerate person. But for example, I'm very strict on when I go to sleep, when I need to go to certain meetings. I find that I prioritize a lot in my day-to-day life, the same like fight or flight mode that I was in as a teenager, which now I don't really have to do that.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily leave you, and as much as that's a strength, it's also one of probably my weaknesses.
Of course, right. And so how has that been, you know, whether it's your husband or your friendships, how has being in, you know, how your childhood was affected those relationships? I know you just spoke to with your husband, for example. Mm-hmm. Is that also across the board with friends and peers, colleagues?
I find that I probably don't have a lot of really close friends because don't allow myself to really depend on anyone for any of my needs.
Right.
So recently this year I started seeking therapy, and it's something I've been very vocal about, especially on our social media channels.
Yeah.
You know, not in your face, but every once in a while to remind everyone that, you know, you don't see 99% of people's problems on social media.
No.
You see the best of the best. And I get so many messages like, you're so inspiring. It's incredible what you've
achieved. It's true. You're so open.
But I'm like, okay, I also have this other side. Right. I don't want to fool anyone. You know,
we
all struggle with things.
But I think people appreciate that honesty because we're, of course, going to get to the floral business. But they, you know, you have these gorgeous pictures of these flowers, and flowers make you happy, and they look perfect, and they're curated beautifully. But there's also this real side to you. You're not just like this perfect florist. I mean, you're perfect, but you know what I mean. Like, you have, you know, a lot going on underneath the surface. So you just mentioned therapy, and I was going to ask you about that. And so Francesca and I bonded a little bit over therapy as well.
Yes, because you're very vocal about
it. I'm very vocal about therapy to the point where people
probably... Your therapist is sold out for like the next year.
Seriously, I think she should give me kickbacks.
I think she should too, Stephanie, if you're listening.
Stephanie.
She needs kickbacks.
I know, right? But I think it's the most incredibly beneficial thing you can do for your well-being. I think it's worth every penny and then some. I mentioned it in the intro, actually, saying how someone today asked me for Stephanie's information and I gave it to them. They asked what she costs. I told them and I said she's worth every penny. And if she was three times that cost, she'd still be worth every penny. Like do you feel the same about your therapist and about therapy in general?
I do. I feel like, you know, you can do all the things. You can eat the avocado toast. You can work out twice a day. You can go to yoga. And if you're not mentally right, you're just not healthy.
No.
And I feel, I mean, until very recently, I felt like therapy was almost like, okay, I failed.
Right.
And I even remember when I was younger, I had a boyfriend and he told me, you know, Francesca, one day you really need to go see someone and talk about all this with them. And I was like, I refuse because that means that all those people won and now I'm quote unquote sick and I need help.
Uh-huh.
But that's the completely incorrect way to look at it.
I know, but a lot of people still think about it like that.
Because you do. You feel like a failure because you feel like therapy is only there for people that, you know, can't get over it themselves,
exactly.
That need help. And I really want to break that, stereotype because
yes, please.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. I don't care if you're like Gandhi.
Well, that's the thing. And I feel like there's such this taboo, maybe not as much now, but there was such a taboo about, I mean, I've been going to therapy for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would do without it. But I feel like it is almost like, I don't know for me if it was that I felt like I failed, but I'm also, as I talk about on social media, I'm on Zoloft for my anxiety. For so long, I was so resistant to medicine because I'm like, then I did kind of fail. Like, I can't handle anxiety. Well, you know what? When you have a headache, you take Advil.
Yeah.
I think
quality of life.
Yes.
And I mean, take certain medications for certain things.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I was like, oh, but if you take medications, it means you're weak or you're not trying hard enough or you're not eating well enough, you're not exercising, whatever, all the things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just realized, no, but I'm really miserable.
Right.
Rather have a better quality of life and then maybe ease off one.
Exactly.
Or just be content that there's even modern medicine out there that can make
I mean,
you
it's
feel
amazing.
Good.
And I feel like, of course, a lot of, you know, things I might talk about in therapy with Stephanie might be situational or things that have happened to me that have caused X, Y, and Z. But also I do think it's how you're wired. And maybe I was wired in a way that has a lot of anxiety, whatever it is. But if there's a medicine out there that can help, and anyway, therapy. So you're all about therapy.
I'm all about therapy.
Like, you recommend it.
Definitely recommend. You know, it's funny when I remember the day that Child Protective Services came and took me out of my house and I went and sat down with a therapist, and it was the first therapist I'd ever been with.
Yeah.
And it was a whole 30 minutes.
And you were 12.
And that was the only therapy session I ever had, like, throughout the entire childhood and adolescence and teenage.
So when did you start going back to therapy as an adult?
So I went briefly a few, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago, okay, when I had some issues with my now husband. I thought, you know, we're getting married. I want to make sure, you know, everything's perfect. We all have this idea that everything has to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, then it's bad. And, you know, you're doing something wrong or you're with the wrong person. And then it wasn't really until this year that I realized that I had achieved all the things. I'd lived in all the places. I had traveled to all the places. I had started the businesses. I was successful in the businesses. I would win a contract and it wouldn't even, like, it wouldn't even make a difference. It would
what do
be
you
like,
mean? You didn't get excited or
I
feel...
wouldn't get excited. It could be a huge contract and I would be like, great, okay, on to the next thing. Wow. So it was always on to the next thing, not happy. And I realized that, you know, I'm in my 30s now and I've been married for almost 8 years and we still don't have a family. And I started doing some serious reflection where I was like, well, why don't we have a family? And I realized a part of it is because I'm not really that keen to be a mom. Just because I don't know if I can be a mom because I never really had a mom.
Because,
And then I started thinking, you know, it'd be really helpful if you had someone to talk to and dealt with the past, finally, like, cave or whatever it is that you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because you're basically robbing huge life joys from yourself by not dealing with these things.
Absolutely.
And so that's, this year was really probably the first time that I started therapy.
Like, consistently going.
Consistently. And it's exhausting.
Oh,
it's like
totally
going to the gym and being sore and like worn out. And like, you're like, what is this all for?
One of my friends and I both go to Stephanie, and we always call each other after, and we're like, we are physically and mentally and emotionally drained in the best way possible. But it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Like I had to take a nap on the days I had therapy. Yeah. I was like, I would go lay in the car for like 20 minutes.
It's a lot.
Like an idiot, but you had to.
No, it's crazy. So we talked about this before I turned the microphone on, that something you've been talking about in therapy, and I've actually talked about in therapy, your inner child. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Will you tell me the quote that you told me before you can get out your phone? Because I want everyone to hear it.
So I found this quote and it can't be more true. The way we talk to our children becomes their inner voice. Yes. And you know, this whole concept of dealing with the inner child, actually, the therapist I go to now was recommended to me by a friend in Dubai. She actually sits in Dubai. And I recommended that my husband should go and see her.
Oh.
Isn't it funny how we always feel like we should push someone else? And it was the first time I had heard of this concept of inner child, and I just thought it was really whack. And, you know, I was like, oh, so you're talking to like 8-year-old so-and-so.
Right, right.
But it's so true.
It is.
To really take a moment and try to connect. And I have to say that I have overcome so many things in such a short amount of time by doing that. And I realized that, you know, I'm a little bit more excited about the idea of motherhood at some point.
Yeah, that's great.
And the concept of whatever you say, however you act with your child will be their inner voice. And it can't be more true.
It's so true. And I was also telling you before that in therapy, like I've even been told, like, what would 8-year-old Julie think? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. But if you really have to go back and, because your childhood really, they're very formative years. I mean, bad, good, ugly, whatever it is. And there was a period of time, it was over 10 years ago, probably when I first started going therapy, I had a really, really, really bad breakup and like traumatic. And the way I acted after the breakup, you know, I ended up going to a psychiatrist, all this stuff, was chalked up to my child, these childlike kind of actions.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, it was something I hadn't dealt with for my childhood. I have no idea. I mean, I do know, but I'm not getting into
that
now, but isn't that crazy though? I totally agree. And I think it's because it's been brought up in my therapy sessions multiple times about different things. I mean, my therapist, I don't even know if I should say this because it's kind of makes, anyway, but my therapist told me, Stephanie told me, I've only like become, this doesn't sound ridiculous, like an adult the past like few years. Like she said, it's very common for women and whatnot, but like I feel it. I feel like I've actually become like an adult and making adult decisions and thinking and responding and
like rationally
and not just emotionally and impulsively. And that's all like within the past few years. I'm 32. So
yeah, but that's therapy because I'm sure there's a lot of women out there that maybe never reached that or
I know
later in life.
Yeah.
And
much later.
I noticed tendencies with me, like, for example, if someone really close to me was really upset, I couldn't really relate to that. And I'm typically an empathetic person, but it was like the moment, say I, you know, someone I was really close to and we got in a fight and they got really emotional, I immediately stonewalled because I didn't know how to deal with that, because when I was little and I was really emotional, nobody was there for me.
Right.
And so it's, you start noticing when you start reflecting a little bit more on how you react to things or how proactive you are about things or how rational you are about things, you realize very quickly that it's stemming from a very young version of yourself.
Which I never knew up until whenever a few years ago or when I earlier started therapy that, and even this, was it Stephanie? No, I think it was Stephanie. We did this whole, I don't know what she calls it, but it was not a questionnaire, but something about my childhood. And I kind of was wondering, like, my childhood can't have that much. Apparently,
it has
a lot to do with who I am today. I know.
And
it's
crazy. I joked with my therapist. I was like, sometimes I feel like I've just built this beautiful mansion and just sits on toothpicks, you know, and it could be gone any day. And she just thought that was the hilarious thing ever. And I was like, no, I'm really serious. No, you're like, I need help.
So do you feel like through therapy, you've, you mentioned how like it was hard for you to get excited if you got a big contract. Do you feel like now you get,
Definitely. I won another really big contract and I went out and celebrated.
Yay!
I made the reservation.
Oh,
yay. I'm so excited.
Okay, good. So I
definitely feel like I feel emotions now. Earlier this year, I was really in a place where I didn't feel any emotion. The only emotion I felt was anger. And that's a big warning sign. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you talk to any therapist, because anger is really sadness, and sadness is stemming from something.
There's
really
so much
deep
there. Yeah.
And I mean, there's like a whole, I think, chart wheel of emotions.
I've seen that wheel. Yeah.
Like guilt and shame. What families. Anyway, we're going to scare people.
Yeah. I know. Then I'm like, I'm never going to therapy. But yeah.
Now I'm like, I really can feel emotions. I get up and I'm excited about my day. And I'm so grateful to even be in the position that I'm in and what I've created. And that's why earlier this year, when I just wasn't feeling any emotions, I was like, okay, this is not okay.
Right, right. And has your husband noticed this change in you, this shift?
Definitely. I feel like as you start going to therapy and you start reflecting, you start changing as a person. And I feel like sometimes it can be a bit difficult in relationships, because especially if one is very consciously working on themselves and the other is not, there can a lot of times be a lot of butting of heads.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of therapy sessions where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I not the right person?
No, of course.
Like, is this okay that this is happening?
Yeah.
I think you just have to be prepared that you're going to start shifting a lot in how your outlook is, either in your personal relationships, your professional relationships, what you do professionally
and being
general,
aware
how
of
you
that.
Live your life.
Yes.
You know? We all go by this phrase, YOLO. We all have one life to live.
How
many of us really do that? I don't know.
Right. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, but it's like for the dumbest reasons. It's not like actually I just hopped a plane and didn't pack a bag, whatever. But sort of transitioning, but from like dealing with kind of harder times. Earlier this year, you had a very traumatic experience. You lost everything in a fire. So, and then we are going to get to the exciting, like this is, but the pretty stuff, the flowers. But so earlier this year, and Francesca will tell the story, she had a fire in her home and lost everything. Not early. It was a few months ago. It wasn't even
it was
that long ago.
July 15th.
Yeah.
We're currently running a promotion to get back to the Houston Fire Department, which I'll talk
that,
more
yes,
about.
Yes, we definitely are going to get to that.
So July 15th, so many things. I mean, it was crazy. It was like fire was following me around. That weekend before, I was at a place and I left, and then the fire trucks showed up because it was on fire. The night before the fire, I was at Home Depot looking at fire boxes saying, oh, we don't need one of those. When are we ever going to have a fire? Like I said, you never think it's going to happen to you.
Of course not.
We had a fire alarm the day before, which thank God we did, because we left our cats in the apartment and I left all my jewelry and all my things because, you know, it's a fire truck. Who takes that seriously?
Right.
You should.
Yeah. No,
even if you look crazy.
No, that you should. I mean,
so yeah, it was the evening of July 15th. We weren't even supposed to be home. Last minute decided to go home. We were going to go to bed. Last minute decided to have just a glass of wine. I mean, there's so many like crazy last minute
things.
And we were just sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just felt the room just looked a tad bit hazy, and I just told my husband, I think something's wrong, and he looked into the hallway, and he opened the door, and the hallway's filled a black smoke. There's no alarms, by the way, and so I was like, we have to grab these cats before the alarm goes off, grab the cats, I grabbed my purse, and that was it.
And no alarm,
and
nothing.
No alarm. We ran down the hallway, banging on everyone's door, yelling fire. I mean, it's 9:00 at night. If you have kids, you're like putting your kids to sleep.
Yeah.
You're winding down for the evening. It's a steel and concrete concrete building, so there's no, like, you're not going to smell wood, you're not going to smell fire. Right. The smell was actually all the electrical burning, so, like, all the outlets were pouring out with black smoke. And we went into the parking deck, and just our apartment was just fully engulfed in flames.
Just yours.
Just ours, because all the gas lines of the apartment run on top of our roof.
Just yours.
Yes. So out of 400 units, ours was the only...
I mean, it's unbelievable.
And it was above our bed. So can you imagine if we would have gone to bed?
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been crazy. There's no way.
Because you would have been sleeping.
Up.
You wouldn't have... You wouldn't have... You can't see the smell. I mean, that... And then you said it was from a Japanese lantern?
Basically someone lit a Japanese lantern. So these, like, paper lanterns with the little votives. And it flew off and it caught on top of our roof, which is where all the gas lines are. I can only possibly think that maybe there was a faulty gas line or something. I don't know. But anyway, the whole thing exploded. And... Because we're talking about a votive candle here.
I mean... It's insane. And where it landed exactly to be on. I mean, just the whole thing.
So we sat on the parking deck and I just literally watched this apartment
burn
down in flames. And I would never wish this on anybody. I can only imagine that maybe it's something like what people who lost everything in Harvey went through.
Right, right.
I mean, we had just recently moved from the Middle East a couple years ago. So everything that we had brought with us, we always save for our forever home.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we move into that. And just to watch everything you had acquired over your marriage or just as your home.
And you weren't able... You were able to salvage a few things?
So we got in the car. We drove down. We're on the 8th floor.
Yeah.
We sat in the HEB parking lot for about 4 hours with these cats that have no idea what's going on.
Right.
We were able to go back inside and I noticed that all our shoes... which are in boxes because I'm a little bit of a... I hoard shoes. I'm
right,
not gonna lie.
It's fine.
I'm like, oh, new contract, new shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, as one does.
I just literally found a suitcase and just piled all these shoes in there and my husband was like, no, we should take the wedding photos. I'm like, screw
the wedding photos.
The
shoes.
Digital.
Digital, yeah.
We need the shoes because we don't have... the insurance doesn't come through. We can sell all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, again, survivor mode.
Yeah, seriously.
And the fire marshal was like, you really need to back off and let her pack her shoes.
Yeah, this is important shit.
So
you got your shoes.
I did. I packed all our nice shoes. We were able to grab a few rugs. Like, I mean, we had Iranian rugs that we've been keeping for ages. A rug that my husband, mom has hand basically knit in
Romania.
Gosh. I mean, it's like a 15-foot rug. It's huge.
And you were able to get
the good. We were able to save that. And so the fire department were incredible. I mean, then we had like 6 guys up there. Everything was pitch black. The ceiling had been brought in. It was humid. It's July. It's hot.
Oh my gosh.
It's just glass everywhere.
Awful.
And then they just took everything to our car and we just sat in our car and we were just like, you know, no underwear. You're in your pajamas.
Like, where did you go that? I forgot we said, where did you go that night?
So, since we're the floors of the JW, one of their employees saw what happened because I had gotten on Instagram and I don't like to bring drama. I'm not going to be like, oh,
I remember seeing
like
that whole thing.
I was just like, hey, I don't know what's happening, but I really need everyone to pray.
Yeah, I mean.
And she was like, I don't care what happened, but you have a room. So JW was incredible. So we showed up at 4 a.m. and with our 2 cats and we checked into the JW for a few nights.
And then from there.
And from there, it was a bunch of like, we had some travel. So
right.
And then we came back and then we stay in the Airbnb for a couple
How did you get... I mean, that's hard. Like, I mean, I know, again, like you said, it's very similar to when people lost things during Harvey. I mean, how... from what I noticed on Instagram, as shitty as it was, you remained so positive. Like, I mean, of course, maybe... I'm sure you had your moments, as we all do during things. But how did you... Like, how'd you get through it?
I think in general, I'm an extremely positive person. Yeah. It's actually a joke in my family. My husband's German, and Germans are known to complain about anything. Like, if it's sunny, then it's hot. If it's rainy, then it's not sunny.
Nothing's good enough.
I mean, it's like nothing is ever good
enough. Yeah.
And that's my biggest pet peeve. And so I was just grateful that we had all the things that were not replaceable.
Exactly.
So that I actually had my jewelry on. I actually had a wedding ring on. I actually could grab my wedding dress, our cats, my purse, my passport.
Right.
All the other things we can replace.
Insurance or whatever.
Yeah, and we just have to get a little bit creative. It was tough. Like, this summer is always really slow for us to have a hit like that. And then to not, I mean, especially as an entrepreneur. You're not showing up to your 9-to-5 and you're like, oh, I just had to send a couple emails and like meet someone for a coffee. Like, you're continuously having to think about promoting and being happy-go-lucky and all these things.
Yeah.
And really, you're just like, my life is a big clusterfuck.
I mean, in shambles. Like, I mean, it's your home. It's
your
stuff.
Hey, but you brought me a clothing rack.
I did.
You're
oh my
so
God. That's the least I could do. Please, people are bringing all these things. I'm like, do you want my, because she had said she needed a clothing rack. I'm like, do you want my freaking clothing rack? Like, please.
But that saved us because the next day we went in and we were like, you know what? Let's grab whatever is dry. And so we grabbed those things, put them in trash bags, went and hung them up on all these clothing racks, and we actually used something called an ozonator.
You told me about this, which I'm like, what?
And someone was like, I want you to borrow my ozonator. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. But they were like, you cannot be inside when you run it. It basically will kill you. It will kill anything living. I mean, it's pretty intense.
But it kills all the
But it kills the
shit.
Smell.
It
kills all the bacteria and everything like that. And so luckily we were able to save some of our clothing because, like, I was going out to shop for new things. We, you know, had to be in Alaska in like 2 days.
Right, you
and
had a trip
like
planned.
Sweaters. Nobody.
My gosh.
And I was like, I refuse to buy this stuff because I already had it or it was just too much or, you know, and Jeez. I hate buying things out of need. And
right,
so
right.
Like, if we could save some things, I'd save them. So we officially are in our new place now.
Yay.
As in like a week ago.
That
so
is
it's
so,
been a huge
so excited.
Process.
I'm sure. Like on top of work and everything else.
Oh,
going
yeah.
On.
And you just have to have it all together.
But you really, like, I guess to your point, I mean, and what you said, like, you kind of put into perspective, like, you had the things you couldn't replace or that weren't easily replaceable. And you, I mean, this is what it kind of like, you can't control, like, once it happens, you really have no control over it and
Definitely
it sucks.
Not.
And you have to, wow. I mean, okay, crazy. So now we're going to get to happy stuff, I promise. Okay. So now tell me, okay, so we're transitioning now to her extremely successful company, which is Franzi's Flower Designs.
That's very kind.
And she's extremely talented, as they said in the intro. And if you follow her on Instagram, which we'll give all that info at the end.
Thanks.
But okay, so how did you get started?
Oh my gosh.
Like, had you always wanted to be a florist? Was it like a dream of yours? How did it come about?
So, you know, it's funny. I was actually at a lunch meeting today and she asked me the same thing. And I realized that like this story is like 15 minutes long, but I don't know. It's just part of the journey.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was little, I used to go around our house. We lived in the middle of the country and I would pick flowers and I know what flowers pop out at which month. And I would make specific arrangements for each room of the house.
When you were little?
When I was little. I was like 5 years old.
Oh, that is
cute.
So
I would like make a little floating arrangement for the bathroom or a bigger one for the kitchen. And it's so funny because this is what I do today for a living.
That's amazing.
You should watch your children what they do. Because
that's
it's crazy.
And you were
so
you
funny.
Just were interested in that. There's no reason.
It just made me so happy.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
As I grew older, everyone always knew I liked flowers, and so I always had flowers around, even if it was like a little bunch of, you know, from HEB or whatever. And the first time I really put my toe into the floral design world was when I was working for a company in Dallas, and they were looking for someone just to help them on their business side. So promote them on Google. At the time, Facebook was a big deal and all these things. And so I was like, yes, grateful for just to be in the studio. And so I worked every evening with them and on the weekends, and she started utilizing me in some of their installs in the SMU area in residential.
Yeah.
And she only did corporate, and that like blew my mind because when I think florist, I either think you go in and you get a bouquet or they do your wedding flowers.
Right.
I don't know what else she would do as a florist. And I loved it. And then when I moved to Dubai, I really tried to freelance for other florists, but it was really difficult. And I focused on more of what I was doing at the time. And flash forward for 2014, I found myself modeling and doing all these events.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was like, Dubai is a world of opportunity.
Wow.
So when I got there, I was working for a corporate company. I left after about a year because it was a crisis in the division I wanted to go into didn't have any opportunities for me. So I started freelancing. And ironically, a friend of mine, I told her, I was like, I just want to meet people my age. She's like, oh, you should sign up for this company called Bareface. I had no idea that Bareface was like Ford models of the Here I am like submitting my photos. I'm like, hey guys, I just want to meet people.
Right, and they're like, okay, so you're going to be a model.
Yeah, and the booker was like, great, okay, you're going to be on an Emirates shoot next week. And I'm like, uh-huh. And then she told me like what it cost, and it was like more than I made in a month. Like,
nice.
Like, corporate job. So I was like, yes, I will do more of these.
Right, why not?
And then from there, I started working different events.
Yeah.
And then event companies started picking me up to freelance for them.
For florists, doing
No, this is all just freelancing.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to lead up to how
got
I got
it.
To
wow.
where I am.
Okay.
So I started working with one event company exclusively who actually Edelman now owns. So they're very well known.
Yeah.
And I was working with all their investment bank forums and handling all their destination event management. So here I am in Istanbul, second year in a row. I'm at the Four Seasons. I'm like managing like 250 E-class Mercedes, 4 hotels completely sold out, helicopter demands, Bill Clinton. I mean,
all the things. Yeah.
And I'm like dying while I'm still managing my like first business on the side. And I'm just I get back home and I literally like collapse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Francesca, if you were to die tomorrow,
right? Okay,
you would be very angry that you did all the things to either prove to others, again, inner child, prove to others, make the money, prove to yourself, whatever. But you're so unhappy, and I was so.
And you were.
I was extremely ill, and I was very unhappy.
Wow.
So that moment, I was like, I wrote all my buyers, I'm sorry, we cannot fulfill your orders for my first company. I canceled all my model agreements. I canceled all my freelance agreements. And I just like sat there and like stared at my computer. And I was like
you just, you did all that at once.
I was like,
wait, what was the first company again?
You said it's Vegas de Santiago. We're the largest manufacturer of Costa Rican cigars.
Oh my gosh.
So another fun fact that like nobody knows.
Jeez, really fun fact. It's like in Us Weekly, the 25 fun facts or whatever. But anyway, you did all that right then?
Did all that right then. Because I was just, because I got so sick, I actually contracted a disease I'll never get rid of. And it was based on stress.
No.
And I was just like, this is not okay. And
no.
I just had this moment where I was just like, well, get rid of all the things that are not
right.
Okay.
Bye.
Because as an adult, especially someone that's been a fighter and has, you know, refused to go back to like where they came from and it can only get better and bigger and whatever, you tend to overwork yourself and you don't actually check in with yourself with what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so at that point I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I knew I always wanted to do something with flowers when I retired. And I just thought, why wait
till you retire?
I'm like 65.
Retired
to actually do something I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's very ironic because the same boyfriend I mentioned earlier in this podcast when we were high school sweethearts, he told me that one day, Francesca, you will own a flower business. And I was like, no, there's no way. Because I never thought of myself as having an entrepreneur.
Oh my gosh.
I just like to work hard. I was like, no, I just want to work in the flower shop.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to show up and descale the roses. He was like, no, you'll own it. So it's funny. Actually, when I got my business card, I sent it.
Did
to
he send it? Okay.
I said, like, you were right.
You were right, right. So then were you like, screwed, I'm doing it. Like that was.
So then I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to do this flower design.
Yeah.
Thing. I don't even know what you call it.
Yeah.
Forestry, flower design, flowers. I mean, I had no idea. So I started Googling, and ironically, this is how I Googled my hotel and restaurant management degree, because I was like, how to work in hotels, how to be a hotel manager.
Yeah,
like, thank God for Google.
Right,
like,
what would you do?
So I Googled, and I found the American School of Flower Design, and it was the only school that really taught about the business side, because I love business. I feel like I really could sell anything.
Yeah.
I proved it with the cigar business, but I just didn't enjoy what I was selling. I wasn't like an avid
user passionate about
what I was selling. I didn't really relate to my 40-plus-year-old male customers.
Yeah.
Like, I like flowers. I've never given flowers to someone and they weren't happy.
Who would it? Right. It's like the happiest thing you could receive.
So immediately I was like, well, that's what I'm going to do. And I just thought, well, you know, worst case, you're going to be out a lot of money and you're going to know a lot about flowers. And best case, you're going to start a new company and you're going to be really happy with it.
And you were fine either way.
I was like, well, it's better than where I'm at right now. And I literally booked a flight to LA. I'm still living in Dubai at this point. I booked a little Airbnb, a little car, and I moved to LA. And
wait, were you married at the time or no?
I was married at the time. My poor husband like came along with me.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So even though we don't have like the best of days all the time, he has been like
he's amazing, right?
He's incredible.
So you went and we went,
and then every day we made 5 arrangements, and every time I made an arrangement, I would figure out who I would go and deliver it to.
Like no charge,
Okay. I would be like on behalf of Fran. So I already had started my company before I even went to school.
Love it. I love it.
I totally believe in fake it till you make it.
We were just talking about this.
If you don't believe in yourself, like nobody is.
No, just do it and then deal with the questions later.
And so I literally would make the arrangements and then I would go to Ferrari. I would go to Rodeo Drive or I would go to places to make me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah, of course.
Because I was like, this is the town. Like if you don't make it here, if you don't make it in Dubai, you won't make it anywhere.
Anywhere, right.
And so I just did that.
And you just literally delivered them.
And I would come in and typically I had a connection with the brand because I had worked with them in the Middle East.
Okay.
Like I launched Kate Spade in Dubai. We launched the Marriott Marquis.
Got it.
I worked really closely with Chanel and Hermes.
So
that was my whole background.
Right, right.
So I could go in and I could make the intro so it was like a warm cold call, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
And it was more so just for the experience and being put outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And every night I would do that until like 8 o'clock at night and I would go home, get ready and do it all again the next day. And everyone else would be like, oh my God, I have all these flowers in my house and I don't know what to do with them. And I just, they're like scrappy me.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's the difference between being an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
That's just.
And you already had a website at this point? Or you?
I already had a website. Yeah. It was very basic. I literally one day, I had no money. I mean, I did have money, but I didn't. I wanted to put it in my education.
Yeah.
And my seed money. To this day, we have not taken one loan or anything.
It's amazing.
Line of credit. I was actually at the bank the other day, and he's like, oh, and the line of credit. I said, no, if I need extra money, but, I'm going to go bartend.
Yeah.
Or do bottle service at Clay.
Right. Right. Okay. Love that.
Free.
Yes.
So yeah, I didn't have much to start with, and I just thought, you know what? What is more special than like handwriting your logo?
I mean,
and this is before all the rave of calligraphy.
Yeah,
no
means
is my handwriting that amazing. But I was just like, so I wrote it out, and I took a picture, and I put it in Word,
I mean,
and I wrote flower design underneath, and boom, there you go, Franzi's flower design.
I mean, it's amazing. And then how? So from delivering all those flowers, is that when you got your first client or your first customer?
So ironically, when I delivered one day to the W Beverly Hills,
okay,
and they were looking for a florist, and they were like,
wow,
can we, they made me the job offer on the spot. And this is why it's so important to pursue any opportunity that you have, because you have no idea.
You have no idea what'll happen.
And so at the time I really felt committed to Franzi's, even though there was like really no Franzi's. So
Franzi's
just handing out these like business cards, and maybe one person went to the website. And so I politely declined, and I ended up in Dubai.
Did.
My first gig was actually with Waldorf Astoria, because I was just like, well, I'm going to work the hotel angle, because this whole time I was in Istanbul going back to my event days, I just kept looking at those flowers in the Four Seasons Bosphorus.
Yeah.
And I was just like, one day I'm going to do something like
Oh
that.
My God.
I was like, I can't believe that that's someone's job. Like, that is amazing.
That's crazy.
And I still have the photo today. I remember taking them. And
that's crazy. And so Waldorf Astoria was your first.
My first client.
And how did you just went after them? Like,
I just went after them. I went after their concierge teams.
Wow.
They had like a big convention basically, and I helped them with that. And then I used all my connections with the event industry. And Dubai is such a great place because it is so opportunistic,
yeah,
and people have such an entrepreneurial spirit there that everyone wants to help you.
Right, right.
I feel like sometimes here in the States we offer to help, but it's more ego driven.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I could
and
help you.
There's
but
no
I don't
follow
like,
through.
Feel like
it.
Is,
right,
yeah,
right.
Which I was very disappointed in when I first came. But in the Middle East, like we all want to help each other because we all have something to gain.
Exactly.
You know, even if it's a finder's fee, you have like
whatever.
You have no shame. You're like, look, I'll give you this client.
That's
I want 10%.
Amazing.
You're like, okay, cool.
So when you said no to the W, you said it because you didn't think you could handle. Or
I said no because we were still in Dubai.
Yeah, there's no.
And I just thought,
right,
I would never give Franzi's a chance if now I'm just jumping in to go work for W. Like,
oh, because you would be working. You that would be.
I would like move to Beverly Hills, and I would be based
got
in
it.
A W hotel, and
got
I'd be
it.
A W employee.
I see.
And I was like,
wow,
then there's no Franzi's. And I have this thing. I'm like, if you have something you've always wanted to do, because ironically, when I found this flower school, they have a school in New York, and I was there for a wedding, and we were in an Uber, and we were going to some meeting or whatever, and I was on the phone, actually, with a job offer here in Houston, and they wanted to move me down, and it would have been a dream job I would have taken 2 years prior,
Oh my God.
I was on the phone, and I was just like, I was really torn. Like, I was like, this is a great opportunity. I can move back to Houston, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but I really want to do this flower thing. Like, I kept picturing
That's
myself
crazy.
Going into the cubicle and, like, sitting down and thinking about what if I was doing the flower thing.
Yeah, no, then.
And I was like, that feeling, like, you can always go get that job in a cubicle.
Of course.
You can't always pursue your dream.
No, and you have to follow your gut. Like, what if that, and so what you're, so when.
So, hold on, babe, it gets better.
Oh, my God.
So I'm, like, on the phone, and I'm like, I made this really hard decision of saying no.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem saying no, but in this case, I was like, is this really the best? I mean, I don't even have Franzi's. Franzi's is just like a handwritten
piece
of paper. And the Uber driver is like very angry, and he's like, get out. I can't find your location. And I'm like, God, please give me a sign. I made the right choice. Like, I just feel so stupid
right,
now.
Right.
And so basically the Uber driver throws us out of the car, and we're in the middle of the flower market of New York.
No,
like,
I just
no
got chills.
Joke. No. Like, people are like zooming by with flowers on their car. People are like bumping into you. Like, roses are falling on the ground. Like, it's just like,
oh
hustle
my
and
God.
Flowers, like, everywhere.
God.
And I was like, okay, I got it. It's like loud and clear. I made the right
Holy
decision.
Holy shit.
And I walked over, and there was a school, and I met the founder of the school, who I did not think was going to be there. And he's the one that actually told me about their master's class in LA. And I was like, I'll be there. I'm from Dubai, but I will be there. I will book my ticket. And he's like, you know, it's like in 3 months. I was like, it doesn't matter. And I'm sure he thought I was full of it.
Like, right, of course.
And I'm like, hi, here's my company. I'm like, so
oh
ready
my
for
gosh.
Yeah.
And then
so
you went
journey.
Through. And when was this? Wait.
So this was let's see, March of 2015 is when I went to New York.
Okay.
And I had that moment. That was my, like, confirmation.
Yeah.
And then I went and studied and got my master's July and August of 2015 in LA.
Okay.
And I officially started Franzi's in August of 2015. So we're only a three-year-old company.
It's only a few years old. I don't know if I realized that.
We're very young, and I had this crazy goal again from the past.
Right.
Of opening a location every single year and being in that location for 6 months before finding a new location. And it wasn't until end of last year that I was just like, I can't do it anymore. It's like three is so much already.
You have three.
We have the three, and I was like, I'm happy with the three. I want to go back to Houston. I want to have one home base. Because, I mean, I just felt like I was living in hotels.
Yeah. You can't really.
And I was like, I'm not enjoying this.
Right,
so again, like, always checking in with yourself.
Oh my God. So you still have the three?
I have the three.
But Houston is obviously where you're based.
They're all very different. So, like, Dubai is very expat weddings.
Okay.
That we focus on. 250 or less.
Got it.
Dallas is very corporate.
Okay.
We ended up in Dallas because we were Fairmont's, Dallas's artist in residence.
Right.
So we were living in the hotel for 6 months. We had a shop there and the whole nine yards.
Right.
Now we deal with a lot of our corporate clients that are Texas-based, but they have stores in Dallas.
Right.
And then Houston is really our home where we do it all.
You do everything here.
The shop. We have the weekly installs. We have the events. We have everything.
So who are your, I know we kind of already said, who are your main, you have some big clients. JW Marriott.
JW Marriott is one of our big clients.
And Tiffany.
Tiffany & Co.
Right.
We do the flowers for the state of Texas and all
it's
their
crazy.
Stores.
It's crazy. And then you have, do you do weddings, all the things?
We do weddings. We're very limited. We do about 10 a year.
Okay.
That's like max.
Are you, you're picky. Like you want, you're
I
picky
want it to
about.
Be a good fit.
Yeah.
I feel like wedding, I mean, I think weddings are a great business.
Yeah.
But for me, I take that really seriously. Again,
yeah.
And I think based on my past.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I really enjoy working with corporate. They have a specific look. Like this past week, we just did a huge event with Apple
cool.
JP Morgan Chase. And it
wow.
was like insane.
So when you say event, it could be like a conference or something and you've done all the flowers for all
yeah.
the everything.
So like, okay. I think we had over 50 9-foot trees. Like we did all the trees we brought in. We've brought in like hundreds of arrangements for all their different events around town. So they might have like 10 different venues
wow.
over 5 days. So we really focus on our big corporate clients
yes.
and we take really good care of them. And it was funny, it was a networking event and a lady said, yeah, but you still have the weekend. So why don't you do weddings on the weekends? I'm like, because I like to like hang out
and,
with my family.
And like you want to have a life.
Yeah,
work-life
like,
balance. Have you heard of that? But you will do weddings if
yes.
it's the right fit and
definitely. I love doing weddings. I just want to make sure that it's the right fit. I don't take
yeah.
it just because it's another piece of business.
Right.
A lot of times if an inquiry comes through and I just don't feel like it would be a good fit,
yeah.
I'm pretty open about
you'll
it.
You'll tell them.
A lot of times we're just not even available.
Okay, right.
So, but like we have a beautiful wedding coming up in November, which I'm really excited
okay.
about. It's at someone's private residence.
Oh.
Like it's per. It's
it
like
feels
the
like a
perfect client
fit. Yeah.
for me.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So, yeah.
And then you just recently launched the shop,
yeah.
your shop. So how does that work?
So we have the online shop. We're getting so many requests for like one-off deliveries.
Right.
And we're not typically a cash and carry kind of flower
meaning
shop.
Meaning you can't walk in,
you can't
buy
walk
and ring.
In. Everything's
right.
typically by appointment only.
Yeah.
We're in and out all the time with meetings and all
yeah.
this. But I found that a lot of people were looking for,
yes.
for the look and feel that we do because a lot of times we just do things in mass. So, you know, instead of getting a bouquet with like maybe three roses in it, we'll do a bouquet of 40 roses.
Right.
The thing I don't like about the floristry industry is I feel like there's so much waste, and by no means am I a hippie, but I definitely am very conscious of my
yeah.
carbon footprint.
Yeah.
And so I came up with a concept that's very familiar in Europe,
yeah.
but basically wrapping everything in 100% recycled craft paper.
Oh.
It has its own water source, but then you don't have to pay for the vase. You don't have to pay for the design
oh.
fee. It's really, you're buying your flowers in bulk. And the concept is for it to really become more of a concierge service.
Right.
Where like every Monday your flowers are delivered on your door and it's affordable price and
yeah.
then you have your flowers for the week.
And you're doing that?
This
is that what the
doing.
Shop is that
yeah.
exact wow.
That's the online shop.
So can you order one-off arrangements or no?
You can. Every week we try to put up a designer's choice.
Yeah.
So that will be kind of like your traditional, what you're used to. Like one went out today and it was like all roses and greenery and
yeah.
all the things and the base and all that. So people will contact us for custom orders.
Okay.
That's totally fine. But if you're looking just to send, say, your friend who just got a new job, like an orchid plant, like something. And the other thing is, like, people hate spending money on flowers because they're like, oh, but they only last
they
for, like,
die.
5 days.
Right.
So when we started a whole orchid collection, so the small to extra large orchids, so great for housewarming gifts, like new jobs, things like that. And they typically last, like, 4 weeks.
Oh, they last a while. I feel like orchids.
Because we deal with, like, a local orchid grower, and he is amazing. And so they come in these custom cement pots. And
so people can order that on the site.
They can order them online.
Or the weekly thing they can do. Yeah. And just in Houston? Are you?
So right now we're just in Houston, and we're 10 miles around the 77006 zip code.
Okay.
We hope to expand by next year.
Wow.
But again, it's just getting started.
Yeah.
At Christmas time, we're probably going to push harder for the concierge service just because I think it's a great Christmas gift.
It is.
Someone.
Oh my gosh.
Even if it's, like, monthly or quarterly or
whatever it is. Yeah.
But right now we have it on there because we work with a lot of concierge service at the hotels.
Right.
And they're always looking for something around a certain price range, but they're always disappointed in what they get. So I'm like, if we could scrap the vase and we can scrap the designer's time to make it and everything and literally just bundle, say, 40 roses together,
right,
but still huge and gorgeous.
Yeah.
Then
they would have to have a vase on their end, or?
But typically, I mean, think about how many times you've received flowers.
Yeah. Oh, I have 100 vases, by the way. Do you want some?
I do. Francie's my friend is looking for vases.
That's true. But you're right. Like, they come in vases. So sometimes when they don't, I'm like, yay, I can use my vase.
Exactly.
I got all these beautiful vases for my wedding. Like, I've never used them.
That's the thing. Like, most of the time, everyone has a vase already.
Yeah.
And part of the joy of receiving flowers is actually designing them yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you really gotten an arrangement and you're like, oh my gosh, I love everything about this.
Right. No, you're so right. That's awesome. So that's amazing. So that's currently live. And then you also have a charity component now.
I do. So on the shop we basically launched the shop 60 days after we had the fire. So for the next 30 days, we're giving 10% back from everything that people are buying on the shop to the Houston Fire
Department. That's amazing.
So we're cutting them a check just as, like, a thank you for everything that they've done for us.
Are you going to continue doing a charity component depending on if you have a
kid?
Yeah.
I think it depends on, like, the month. If there's definitely a way that we can factor something in there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
For sure. But I was
awesome.
I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in if I didn't have help, and I want to give back.
Exactly. No, I think that's unbelievable. That's amazing. So what is, well, I guess you just said kind of, but what is next for Franzi?
So we've just launched our nonprofit sister company, which is Franzi's Flower Friends.
Oh, right. That
and,
too.
Yeah, September was really busy.
Yeah, my gosh. She's like went right in there.
And it's incredible. I always said when I got to a point in my business where I felt like I could give back, I definitely wanted to take the time because, by the way, it takes a lot of time to set up a nonprofit. Like,
yeah,
I thought
I'm sure.
Like, wham, bam.
Nothing.
Begin.
Yeah, but
no.
It's.
We started in January and we officially launched in September.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's taken a long time. It costs money and you don't have money that comes in. So, you know, you kind of forget about that component. But it's amazing because we're able, any flowers that come back to our studio, we're able to repurpose.
Why would flowers come back to your studio?
So, for example, if we break down from a weekly install or if we, you know, a lot of times we go set up for events and 2 hours later they're over and we go and get those flowers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And so we get all these flowers and typically most florists just throw them away. There isn't really a donation program that I've found, especially here in Houston, that can properly repurpose, reuse, donate.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting. Like one of our events that we had last week, everything's been repurposed and it will go to a nonprofit this week for their event. And the benefit for the corporations, just using this one example, is that they get a tax donation.
Right.
And so it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
You keep less stuff out of landfill. You know, you can utilize it its whole life expectancy. A lot of times we get things that are so fresh. I mean, it has another week in it.
Oh my God. And it would just go in the trash.
Exactly. And so Francie's Flower Friends that started, we're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for vases.
I'm going to give you some before you leave.
We're always looking for
and
people.
And so that's what it goes to, nonprofit organizations.
Yes.
And
healthcare centers, women's shelters, nonprofit organizations.
Oh.
Starting in 2019, we will be, every month there'll be a friend. That's what it's called, Francie's Flower Friends. Friend equals organization.
Got it.
Later this year, we'll be getting nominations from the community. It's not something that I want the organization to choose from.
Right.
I want it to be voted on.
I love that.
And nominated. And so that way, say, XYZ organization for the month of February knows that every week in February, they're going to get flowers.
That's
so it
awesome.
Helps them plan their events, their donor gifts.
And there's nothing like that here.
No.
Or many
not
places in the
seen.
U.S. or everywhere. That's amazing. Wow. So, okay, what advice would you give to someone dying to become a florist, a successful florist like you?
my first thought is it's a lot of work. It's not something that I had even considered, but it is so labor intensive, the logistics. I think that you need to really have a business mindset. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how creative you are, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, but like it's a constant theme in the office that until you make that sale, you don't touch a flower. Right. And so I think that to fully understand the business of flowers, how perishable they are, what the need is in the market. You know, I came in and my designs are very different from everyone else. And it's so easy to look to see what everyone else is doing.
Right.
And then think like, oh, I'm doing it wrong. But if you really pursue what you enjoy and what you like to see and that you're proud of what goes out, because I think it's really hard to sell something that you create.
Right.
It's easy to sell anything.
Like, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In the past, like to sell cigars, I loved it. It was part of my family. Right. Like it was easy. But to sell something that you actually create, it's all up to the recipients.
Yeah.
Like, if they like it or not.
Yeah,
Met their expectations.
Right.
And that's quite nerve-wracking. So I think it's, you know, be prepared to work hard.
Yeah.
Be prepared to really get immersed in your business. You have to understand your business 100%.
Yeah.
And then just really stay true to what it is that makes you genuinely happy, because there's going to be so many moments where you're like, why am I even doing this?
Right. But you love, you know, this is like what you're meant to do. So it keeps you going and excited. And you have a team of...
We have a team. Yeah, I actually have one full-time member on my team.
Awesome.
So we are like rock stars. Like our number one skill is problem solving.
Oh my God, I felt like you had this like, because you do so much, so I just assumed you had like a million people working.
We used to. You know, there was a time where I had like 15 employees and I just realized I was training everyone to just fill in gaps, as horrible as that sounds. And so when I brought my business back to Houston and I really wanted to streamline and focus, because there's other things that I want to do with the business.
Yeah.
And like I said, not taking those lines of credit and growing organically, you have to really stay sharp on everything that you're doing.
Exactly.
And so I quickly realized that I needed certain people with certain strengths in certain areas. And that was it. I wasn't doing anyone a favor by keeping them around or myself a favor. And so I have one full time and then we have several part time.
Right.
Like several day up help.
Of course. Yeah. And you love what you do. I mean, every day, like, you're excited about what you do. I mean, that's the bet, right?
Yeah.
That's, like, what it's all about.
A lot of times I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get all this done.
Right.
But it's-
and I'm sure there are days that are, like, crazy and you want to, like, pull your hair out. And But then you kind of, is it you just, like, remember what you're doing and why you're doing it. And you're like, this is...
And I go back, honestly, to, like, how I was, I raised myself.
Right.
And my times in Dubai, like, we had a bit of an issue last week. And I'm all about what is the plan B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm always fully prepared for those. And I always anticipate what might be the issue. I definitely never wait for an issue.
Right.
Because it's so much harder to rectify. I'd rather, like, you know, overcompensate.
Yeah.
The client has a great experience.
That's amazing.
Than
I mean,
just, you know, hope it works for the best. But that is from my days in the Middle East, because you can never just hope for the best, because it would never be the best.
So you always have, like, plan B, C, D, all of them, even if plan A works great, but you still have those other options.
Yeah. They're ready.
Amazing. Okay, so now I want to do this rapid fire round, because it's really fun. So Francesca knows none of these questions. It's similar to last week's. Like, I'm just going to ask you, and you kind of have to say what comes to, like, what's in your gut instinct.
Okay.
But, I mean...
Zone, everyone. I like to curate things, so I'll keep it real.
So we're going to keep it real. Hashtag no filter. That's what it's all about. Okay. So let me move this. Okay. So here we go. Okay. So here we go. Well, this one should be easy. Maybe not. Your favorite flower.
Oh my God. A stock flower.
What does that mean?
So a stock flower is just typically a filler flower. You'll find it in a lot of bridal bouquets. It has a really strong floral scent to it.
Oh.
No, like... It's a filler flower, so nobody knows about it, but it comes in all these different colors, and I just think it's so beautiful, but it's like, it's a basic flower.
Like, you wouldn't get that as your bouquet.
I mean, you could, but I've seen maybe a few on Pinterest.
Right, but it's a filler flower.
Yeah, it's a
That's
filler
awesome.
Flower.
It's kind of like, what was the Sex and the City episode? Carnation, or what's
like
the...
Carnations?
I mean, I'm sure it's not carnations, but where, like, Sarah Jessica Parker was like, carnations, that's a filler flower, but I actually love carnations.
Yeah.
You're like,
I know,
please,
I do,
Julie.
No,
oh, do
I
you
do
like
too.
Them?
Yeah. I think they're so underrated. They last forever, and they smell nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I think favorite flower depends on the occasion and depends on the room they're going in.
Valid point. See, I knew you'd have it.
Like, long stem white lilies, I think, look awesome on the dining room table.
Yeah.
Like, a cluster of white hydrangeas, I think, look great on the kitchen counter. Like, it depends.
Okay,
but
it depends.
I think my always one-off gut instinct is the stock flower, and when I was little, it was paper whites. They're also known as narcissus. They're part of the daffodil family.
Oh my,
they're like
I've never
little
heard of it.
White flowers. You don't typically see them because they grow wild, but they have a really strong scent to them as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, so then similar to favorite flower, you're not going to be able to pick just one. What's been your favorite project ever?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's, or you can pick
There's
two.
So many.
Or like pick like.
I'll pick three.
Three, okay.
Okay, since I have three locations on the
Yeah, perfect, perfect.
So, this is tough. Okay, I think in Dubai, it was probably the royal family of Ras Al Khaimah actually hired me to do all the flowers for their National Day. So,
wow.
National Day is really important. It's like our 4th of
yeah,
July.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so excited and I put everything in, and then apparently the shake was really short, and so I had to go in and like cut everything down and basically make everything in about 20 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's just typical.
Right.
Typical. Anyway, Dallas was definitely being the artist in residence for Fairmont Hotels Resorts and living in the hotel with my two cats.
So cool.
All that
yeah.
Kind of all the things.
Yeah.
And then Houston. Oh, that's really tough.
I'm
but
sure.
I think being the in-house florist now for JW Marriott Houston downtown for over, we're going on 2 years now with another year. And
it's always just, so gorgeous. Whenever you show that, I mean, and you come up with all those, like your
I
team
come
comes up with those
them
ideas.
All the time. Like in the beginning, I used to map everything out and I was very like, you know, nervous about it.
Right.
And then since everything's so on the fly, a year later, we were kind of doing things there and then some things in the studio. And now it's, I almost love the challenge of showing up and I know I have a set number of vases. And I have this,
like you know,
theme,
right?
And there's certain brand standards I have to hit because, like, we have a huge PDF of like everything that we have to do. And it's been 80 or 81 installs now, and
wow.
Not one has been the same.
What?
And I can't even believe it.
I mean, that's insane.
But, like, we have all the recipes. Like, every week I'll write out a recipe for the next install. And there's been a few times I've tried to duplicate it, but there's just, you know, you might be one vase off, or you might want to see it like this. You might want
right.
to do it higher. You might want to lean everything to the left. And so.
And do you base it on holidays or, like, events they have at the hotel?
What events are in the hotel.
Okay.
I based it, like, Christmas is a big deal. They always want to match the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So last year they had a black iron Christmas tree with, like, copper and silver
balls. Oh, my gosh.
So we had to match that with, like, gold hydrangeas and
wow.
black vases and vases with, like, gold ornaments.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
So I love the challenge, but not one has been the same.
That's crazy.
And it's so exciting.
So that's fun.
To, like, walk back. And
yeah.
Like, whoa.
Okay, so if you're in Houston, you got to go to the JW Marriott, guys.
It's worth it.
No, it is. Oh, my God.
It's the wow experience. I always say we have to create a wow experience.
Yeah, you do, because I know when I go into hotels, and that's the first thing you notice.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're right.
It's an arrival experience.
Yes.
We actually are working with a client in downtown, and he waited for us to install, because we install every Thursday night.
Yeah.
And he was like, I wait for you every Thursday and I watch what you do. And like, I want to hire you for our grand opening or whatever. So
oh my gosh.
And like, people that live in downtown will come and like get a drink. They come up to us and they'll like have a drink in the lobby and just
watch.
Oh,
like while you're doing
it. Yeah, switch the flowers.
You should do an event or, well, I guess it'd be hard because you would be busy doing it.
I tried to do it live for a while and I was like, this is way
too complicated. Cool though. I would love to like sit at the bar and like see that happen.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool. We have a little flower army that comes in. It's not just me.
Right. No, of course. That's awesome. Okay, so now not on a flower topic, but I feel like still fun. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Okay.
Except Lake. I'm working on my beach body. I'm like working out like twice a day, and I'm like, next summer I'm gonna be running.
Same girl, same. Lake or ocean?
Ocean.
Yeah, I feel like you said beach. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the people that pick mountains, they're lake people. I mean, I guess I go both ways. But if you could have drinks with anyone, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Jeff Latham.
Wow, that was, you, like, that you
yeah,
knew.
Yeah, I'm, like, dying to be on his radar one day. I think he is amazing at what he does.
Yeah.
I totally appreciate how, like, not available here.
Right.
His celebrity status, but he really has changed the floral industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's what inspired me to do what I do. And I remember in the very beginning, I tried to, like, you know, okay, so what flowers is this and how many stems and, like, trying to count and everything. Now I've just kind of been.
He's an inspiration for you.
But
huge.
He's incredible. And
yeah.
He used to model and he just kind of fell into this.
That's
the Four Seasons. And now he's opening his studio in the Four Seasons Pittsburgh. And
so cool.
He's incredible. So I would love to have a drink with him just to be like, am I doing
right? Right. Like, just tell me.
Am I okay?
I love it. If there was a movie made about you and your life, who would play you or who would you want to play you?
Oh my gosh. I have myself.
Isn't it funny? Because like, I've answered that question when someone's asked me it and I'm like, at first I say something and I'm like, I want to fucking be in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I don't watch movies.
Yeah.
Like, my husband loves movies and I think they're such a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm am a workaholic.
But you would be, you would play.
I would play me because I say all the time how we need a TV show.
You like, should.
Every time, I'm like, oh, Franzi's needs a TV
yes.
show. Like, because the stuff we deal with is just
I'm sure it's crazy.
You know, and then we get on the gram and we act all normal.
Right. But really, it's going so crazy behind closed doors.
I would play myself.
I love
probably also because I have no idea who any actress is.
Very good point. Okay, are you a morning or night person?
Morning. I get really sleepy at night.
Do you?
And every once in a while, I have this high, and I'm like,
you're like, get crazy. But do you wake up like your alarm goes off and you're up, like you don't even click snooze? Yeah. So you're like ready to start.
Yeah, I'm ready, but then I'm also like, I'm tired.
Yeah,
I'm tired.
It's a mix. What is your biggest pet peeve?
I think people that complain.
Yeah. Yes. Just like do the shit. Don't complain about it. Just do it.
I just feel like we have so much to be grateful
yes.
for.
Yes.
Like if you have your health.
Yes.
Number one.
Yeah.
Your health. Without your health, you have nothing.
Nothing.
And
yeah.
I feel like, and if you have enough money to have a roof over your head.
Yeah.
Food in your stomach.
Yeah.
And wow, if you have four wheels to drive on, like you're better than 1% of the world out there.
Yep.
So I feel like complaining.
I agree.
And always feeling like the victim or it's not for you or it's not possible or people don't understand. None of that.
Love
just
it.
Be grateful.
Yes, exactly. What is your favorite quote or motto or something that might get you through a rough day or just something you try to live by every day?
Oh my gosh, I have so many.
Do you? I know, I do too. So if someone asked me this, I'd be like,
but
oh.
But now I can't think of it.
Of course not. Or like the theme of the quote. Like what would the, what...
Oh my gosh, I don't know, but I'll tell. I mean, I can't think of the exact one, but I will tell you one that I read the other day, and
you loved it, like you saved it, bookmarked it.
I did because you told me how you need to create
a folder,
photos,
yes.
a folder,
and I do have like 50 quotes.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, but you will trust me because you're gonna be like, oh, I need to go back to that quote.
Okay.
Right?
Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them.
Yes. Where'd you see that? I love that.
My dirty like an Instagram put or, that on her picture of her peony that she put up.
I love it. That you need to start a folder and then you'll have all these.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
If you're not falling on your face, you're not trying hard enough.
Yes.
And that wasn't from anyone in my family.
Right.
It's someone who I really look up to. He has an investment bank and he started from nothing. And I remember that he came to visit my husband and myself when we first started our businesses in 2012 in Dubai. And we just feel like we're trying so hard and we just feel like all the doors are being slammed in our face and we're just really struggling. And he was just like, if you're not falling on your face every day, you're not trying hard enough.
Wow.
So he's like, so you're doing really good. I'm
right.
Like, okay, I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, that's great. So then it might be similar to the, what advice would you give to your younger self? Or maybe different because you had it, you know.
I think to relax and to like trust people. Like trust the good in people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like give the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I've always just been like, me, myself, and I, is that nobody else would look out for me. You know, it's funny. Like, I've never done drugs. I've never done anything that would put me in a bad situation because I'm like, who would I call? What if they don't actually come bail me out?
Right. So kind of trusting.
Relax. Trust. Have fun.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like I had, like, my crazy 20s.
Right.
When I was in college, I worked, like, 3 jobs. And it was all about graduating. And then when I got married at 23, which was really young.
Yeah.
And then it was all about, like, starting the companies and doing the companies. So we do all the things and then have the kids and both. Like, when do you actually go out and have fun?
Right. Well, now you can do it in your 30s.
Yeah.
Or you do it.
Definitely.
Love it. Okay. What is the best date you've ever been on? It can be with your husband or maybe it was with a prior boyfriend.
That is so tough. I feel like I've been on so many amazing
like something
dates.
Like more, not extraordinary, but maybe not just dinner and a movie. Like what was like...
I'd have to say my engagement was probably the best date I've been on.
What'd you guys do? Or how did he propose?
My half-brother is Swiss, so I have a whole Swiss side.
Wow.
And that's a whole nother...
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to do another.
I'm going to draw a family tree.
Yeah, please.
And long story short, my husband decided to rent a boat. It was March and take me out on this lake and it was in front of a castle. It was the first castle I'd ever seen when I was like 11. Again, when I went to go see this Swiss side of my family.
Yeah.
And I was just really concerned about how my brother had taken the day off work and then had like come and rented this boat so my husband could play James Bond. And I just thought I was so inconsiderate.
Oh.
And I was so angry. And my husband finally at one point was like, could you please go to the front of the boat? And then dropped down, asked to marry me. My brother got pictures of the whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like the most romantic
thing ever.
I got champagne and all,
all that's perfect.
That was my perfect day.
Yes.
Yeah. He proposed to you in front of a Swiss castle.
I mean, does it get better than that?
No.
Basically everything's downhill from there. Okay, who would be, maybe you don't have someone, my last podcast guest did not, do you have a hall pass or maybe a celebrity crush or someone that your husband would be like, fine, if you ever met him, like,
I don't, like, see, that would be a total, like, no, but if, like, my husband wasn't in the in the picture,
right,
then it would be Channing Tatum.
Yes.
Like, I can't go watch his movies because I feel guilty.
But if you, like, met Channing Tatum tonight, like, you couldn't even, like, say hi to him. Like,
I mean,
would you
I could say hi to him.
But you would have to really restrain yourself.
No hall pass business. Like, there's not, like, one-on-one drink.
Right.
And then some.
But it would be hard to restrain yourself. I think he's,
you know.
Channing Tatum. There's nothing else to say about him. Okay, love it. I'm like, is that question like inappropriate for them? It's no filter. You kind of just go with it. Okay, if you were running for office, what would your campaign slogan be?
Oh my gosh.
I know, isn't that a weird question? I found it on site. Like, you don't actually have to answer it. We can skip it. But no, if there's something like, even maybe not even a slogan, but like a theme that you would want, like the last podcast, his was all about productivity and working hard. Like, that was his thing.
So I remember when I ran for student council and I didn't even have a slogan.
Okay.
And I was just like, please vote for me.
That could be, that could be yours.
No.
I can't remember mine either.
I really believe in, like, one of the issues that I have being back in the States is just this social welfare mm-hmm. that is available to everybody.
Yeah.
So I feel like I said, I'm very conscious of my carbon footprint and social equality in some ways, especially for the working class and like what what securities are offered to them.
So you'd want to kind of, that would be one of your big.
That's something I want to take, I think are still important. Mm-hmm. And I think people that, like, for example, when I was a child, we grew up on food stamps. And so someone that hasn't been in that situation, it's very easy to judge why that's not necessary or they're lazy, they don't want to work. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's a really harsh, narrow-minded view. But I do think these things are important because they are. This is our community and it's part of our society.
Yeah.
And you're helping with education and healthcare to make sure that everyone is being the best that they can be. And I think it's really important.
Yeah.
And I think it's something very easily forgotten.
Yeah.
So I think social welfare would be a big driver.
Okay, that's a great answer. See, like,
and you know, carbon footprint. No straws.
No straws. Are you one of the? Are you?
I'm in no straw.
So you're happy that like all these places are straws. But I will say, when people give those the paper ones, they get soggy. So I'd rather just have
just
no
drink
straw.
Fast. Like, oh, you drink intense.
I just would rather have no straw. Just
no straw.
No straw. Just not the paper.
The only time I struggle is with a Vietnamese coffee.
Why?
I don't know. They always fill it up really high.
Yeah.
You take the lid off
it's a
and
struggle.
The coffee goes everywhere. And
why don't they just start doing more of those,
They have, like, so many now. Bamboo, paper.
Bamboo,
like,
and yes. But, like, there are other options I've seen.
Definitely.
But there was one place, I think it was when I was in Colorado this summer, and they did paper straws. Mm-hmm. And I would start drinking. I'm like, I'm not even using a straw.
So,
like,
the old school paper straws, I do agree with you. They just, like, disintegrate, and you can't use those. But if the company spends a little bit more and gets, like, the proper paper straws, like, you're
totally
fine for, like, an hour.
Yeah, and, like,
problems,
like, right. You shouldn't be sipping a drink for
like
an hour unless it's wine.
Yeah.
But not even. You should have like
you should
five.
Have a straw
with it. Right. Okay.
So anti-straw. Because there's like 500 million in the U.S. alone that get thrown away a day.
That's crazy. Crazy.
So crazy.
I know. But I feel like only recently has it become like talked about. Like,
well, it's a good thing.
Yeah. But like where, why? I mean, we've had straws forever. Why just now?
I guess just people finally took an interest in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they became advocates of it.
Yeah.
Because it's showing up everywhere. I mean, the fact that like every piece of seafood that you put in your mouth has some sort of percentage of plastic in it.
Stop. That's
don't
disgusting.
Go do any research.
That's disgusting. Please, when I became like vegan or vegetarian for a little while, I had watched a lot of movies documentaries, and I was like, why the fuck did I start watching these? It was like I couldn't
It's like when you start watching documentaries of like how your clothes are made.
Yes, exactly.
We do live in a time now where we have to be more conscious with our choices and our buying power. And it is really inconvenient sometimes. I totally get that.
Yes.
And a lot of times people perceive you as being like too good or whatever the things are. But it does make a huge difference in how we move forward.
Right. No, you're totally right. You're totally right. Wait, this was so fun. Before we're done, tell everyone your Instagram, like where everyone can find you and all the things.
All the things. Okay, Instagram, Francie's Flower Design. Facebook, Francie Flower Designs. I have no idea why they added that.
So with an S, okay. But Instagram is no S.
But I'm pretty sure if you start typing,
you'll be fine. Yeah.
Our website is Francie's.com. If you want to go to the shop, it's /shop.
So it's all, but it's all through Francie's.com.
Yeah, Francie's.com. Super easy. And then our nonprofit is Francie'sFlowerFriends.com.
Can you get that also through the main site?
Yeah. Definitely.
Everything.
Francie's.com.
Amazing. So there you go, guys. You have, but really you should, even if nothing else, follow the Instagram for like the pretty, I mean, it's like really pretty. I'm like, I never have flowers in my house like that. But I get mine at like in the grocery store sometimes. Kroger has some.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need to do another podcast, but peonies. Do you love peonies? Because you just did a whole trip.
Just did a whole trip to Alaska. Actually, the next step for Francie's is to have its own flower farm, and we bought in Nova Scotia in 2015 for it. And so actually next year I'm going up for 6 months to start the farm.
Oh my gosh.
Starting in June, which
that
I'm really excited about.
That is so exciting.
So this year we went to Alaska like 4 days after our fire.
And
stayed on this farm for a week. It was incredible just to learn all the ins and outs. Like it's beautiful, but the amount of work that goes into flower farming and the amount of risk you take on is just
insane. I'm sure.
I did a whole blog post on it. You can see
Blog. There you go. Oh my God, that's amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being so open about childhood, everything I know. You're so inspiring and it's amazing.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. And as always, all of you can follow me at JulieLauren14 on all the things. And I will talk to you very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Justin and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?